you find Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, the prince of Darul Hadith in Cairo. Likewise, the prince of Maktabatul Huda Al-Muhammadi. Maktabatul Huda Al-Muhammadi, you'll also find it. Likewise, the copy of Dr. Luqman, Muhammad Luqman Al-Salafi. You will also find this copy and the copy of Dar Ibn Kathir. We've mentioned about four copies now that I have. Many of the copies that you will find in Arabic, many of the printed copies you will find entirely in Arabic. You will start with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And then they say, Babu Qawli. Babu Qawli Allah Ta'ala wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi husna. And then they will say, Akhbarana Abu Nasr. Akhbarana Abu Nasrin. Ahmad ibn Muhammadin ibn Hassan. And so on. This is what many of the copies will start with. This, Akhbarana Abu Nasrin. Ahmad ibn Muhammad. And I think that's what you also find on the copy that our brothers have displayed on the screen. This statement, Akhbarana Abu Nasrin, who is it that has made the statement? Is it Al-Imam al-Bukhari who made this statement, Akhbarana Abu Nasrin? Because you find that at the tail end of that isnad, you find Al-Imam al-Bukhari there, Haddathana Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail. You find Al-Imam al-Bukhari that. You find Al-Imam al-Bukhari occurring towards the end of that isnad before the matin of the first hadith that was mentioned. I'm talking about hadith number one. It says, Akhbarana Abu Nasrin Ahmad ibn Muhammadin ibn al-Hassan, and so on. Al-Imam, this Imam, his name is also popularly called as Ibn Nayaziki. Ibn Nayaziki, rahimahullah, you find that there's a statement that says, Akhbarana Abu Nasrin Ibn Nayaziki. This statement, Akhbarana, is not the statement of Al-Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah. It is the statement of those who have written down this book, Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. They have written in the manuscripts, the copies they wrote down with their hands. In the past, our scholars, when they wrote a book, what they did was that they came out to read that book, to dictate that book to their students. So when they dictate the book to their students, the students write down their own copies of the book. Each student produces his own copy. And then comes back to make a comparison between the standard copy of the scholar, the teacher, in this case, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, and the student. Each student comes now to read from the copy of the teacher and then correct whatever requires correction from his own copy. This is the way our teachers, our scholars, since the past, they wrote down their books. Sometimes the scholar will write the book and give it to the students. And each student will make his copy and correct the copy at one at the same time. And sometimes they had a master copy with them. They wrote with their hands. They wrote with their hands. Because even the Mus'haf at the time used to be written with their hands. So they would write with their hands and dictate what they have written to their students. What are we doing? We are trying to explain that this statement that most of the Arabic prints we have of Al-Adab al-Mufrad, Akhbarana Abu Nasrin Ibn al-Nayaziki, who then goes to say, Rahimahullah, that Akhbarana Abu al-Khair, who then goes to say, Haddathana Abu Abdullah Muhammad Ibn Ismail Ibn Ibrahim, then mentions Al-Imam al-Bukhari. We are trying to explain why is it there. This is the isnad of the book up to the person who documented it. This is Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. This book was written from him by Abu al-Khair Ahmad ibn Muhammad. Abu al-Khair أحمد ابن محمد الكرماني، الإمام أبو الخير أحمد ابن محمد الكرماني wrote down صحيح البخاري from الإمام البخاري in بخارى the city of الإمام البخاري. This statement itself, it's so clear when he said حدثنا. What it means is that after الإمام البخاري wrote down الأدب المفرد, he read it to them. He says حدثنا, meaning that الإمام البخاري read الأدب المفرد to us. He read it to us. So each student wrote down his copy and then came back to correct whatever possible errors from the copy, the standard copy of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. This is the way that our scholars write down their works. So Al-Imam Abul Khair would find it there. Those of us with the copies in Arabic, you find that Abul Khair Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Jalil Al-Bukhari Al-Kirmani Al-Abqas Al-Bazzar wrote down this book from Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, and he says Haddathana Abu Abdullah, and then he mentioned the name of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. Al-Imam Al-Zahabi in his book Tarikh Al-Islam, when he mentioned the biography of Al-Imam Abu Al-Khair, this Abu Al-Khair we are talking about, Al-Imam Al-Zahabi Rahimahullah, he mentions in his book Tarikh Al-Islam, he says Rawa Kitab Al-Adab عن مؤلفه أبي عبد الله البخاري في بخارى. الإمام الذهبي in تاريخ الإسلام, when he talked about أبو الخير أحمد بن محمد البخاري, he says روى كتاب الأدب. This Imam أبو الخير was the one who collected كتاب الأدب, that is our book الأدب المفرد, عن مؤلفه from its author أبي عبد الله البخاري في بخارى. He collected it from Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, he wrote it down from him at Al-Bukhara. فَسَمِعَهُ مِنْهُ أَبُو نَصْرٍ. So Abu Al-Khair wrote down from Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, Abu Nasr Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Niyaziki. Ibn al-Niyaziki. In this copy of Darul Hadith that I am reading from, it says Ibn al-Tabaziki. It's an error. He is Ibn al-Niyaziki. So Al-Imam Al-Zahabi says, Rahimahullah, فَسَمِعَهُ مِنْهُ أَبُو نَصْرٍ أَحْمَدْ إِبْنُ مُحَمَّدٍ أَحْمَدْ إِبْنُ مُحَمَّدٍ إِبْنُ النِّيَازِكِ الْبُخَارِي. So Abu Nasrin, not Abu Nasir, Abu Nasr Ibn al-Niyaziki wrote it from Abu al-Khair. Ibn al-Niyaziki is also from Bukhara. He wrote down Al-Adab al-Mufrad from Abu al-Khair, who wrote it from Al-Imam al-Bukhari. So Abu Nasr wrote from Abu al-Khair. We are reading from Al-Imam al-Zahabi in his book, Tarikh al-Islam. He says, فَسَمِعَهُ مِنْهُ, after talking about Abu al-Khair, he said, فَسَمِعَهُ مِنْهُ Abu Nasr. He said, Abu Nasr Ibn al-Niyaziki wrote down Al-Adab al-Mufrad from Abu al-Khair. Abu Nasr Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn al-Niyaziki wrote it down al-Bukhari. Ibn al-Niyaziki is also from Bukhara. Shaykh al-Qadi Abi al-Ala. Shaykh al-Qadi Abi al-Ala. It means that Abu Nasr had a student whose name is al-Qadi Abu al-Ala. So when we say akhbarana, we can ask the question, the person who made this statement, akhbarana, it was read to us. This person, akhbarana, this bamir in this statement, this person who is telling us that he was, it was read to him, was al-Imam Abu al-Ala Muhammad ibn Ali al-Wasit. His name is Abu al-Ala Muhammad ibn Ali al-Wasiti al-Qadi. He was a Qadi rahimahullah, and is from the teachers of al-Imam al-Khatib al-Baghdadi. So this akhbarana, if we are asked who made that statement, that statement akhbarana Abu Nasr was made by al-Imam Abu al-Ala Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Ahmad al-Wasiti, the teacher of al-Imam al-Khatib al-Baghdadi. This Imam Abu al-Ala al-Wasiti, the two isnads that I have seen from manuscripts of al-Adab al-Mufrad come to end with him, Abu al-Ala, that we have said he was the one who said akhbarana. Abu al-Ala al-Wasiti, two different chains of reports of this book, al-Adab al-Mufrad, have come to end with Abu al-Ala al-Wasiti. So it means we have Abu al-Ala al-Wasiti reporting al-Adab al-Mufrad from Abu Nasr ibn al-Niyaziki, who was reporting from Abu al-Khair al-Bukhari, who is reporting from al-Imam al-Bukhari himself, rahimahullah. Like I said, we have two isnad. The first isnad is the isnad of al-Hafiz ibn Hajar himself, rahimahullah. Ibn Hajar is just a 8th century scholar of Islam, 800 years. And al-Imam al-Bukhari died in the half 256 after Hijrah. So you would see between 700 years of Ibn Hajar and 256 of al-Imam al-Bukhari, there's an isnad. There's an isnad from Ibn Hajar up to al-Imam al-Bukhari. So now we will read to us how the connection between, we have read to us the connection between Abu al-Ala and al-Imam al-Bukhari. Abu al-Ala read al-Adab al-Mufrad from Abu Nasr. Abu Nasr read from al-Imam Abu al-Khair. Abu al-Khair read al-Adab al-Mufrad from al-Imam al-Bukhari. Okay, it remains from Abu al-Ala to al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, 7th century. Between al-Hafiz ibn Hajar and al-Imam al-Qadi Abu al-Ala al-Wasiti. If we go to al-Jawahir wa-Durar fi tarjamati Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Hajar by al-Imam al-Sakhawi. Al-Imam al-Sakhawi is a student of al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, just like Ibn al-Qayyim was, rahimahullah, to Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. That was how al-Imam al-Sakhawi was to al-Hafiz ibn Hajar. In fact, in the case of al-Imam al-Sakhawi, his father, wherever he went to when they were in Egypt, he deliberately went to get a house near the house of al-Hafiz ibn Hajar. The father of Sakhawi went to get a house near Ibn Hajar, so that his son, al-Imam al-Sakhawi, would have the entire opportunity to do a class, to do classes with al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, such that they became so used to themselves. It was even reported that sometimes when al-Imam ibn Hajar rahimahullah wants to do a class and al-Imam al-Sakhawi had not attended, he would stop the class and wait for Sakhawi to appear. If al-Imam al-Sakhawi does not come, the class may not hold, rahimahullah. They became so close. Al-Imam al-Sakhawi became the reporter of the knowledge of al-Hafiz ibn Hajar. And one of the things that he has reported from Ibn Hajar rahimahullah is our book itself, Fathul al-Bari, which was still remains one of the best, if not the best, shaf of Sahih al-Bukhari. So al-Imam al-Sakhawi, after his teacher passed away, or before he passed away, he wrote a biography of his teacher al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, that he had lived it for 46 years he was with Hafiz ibn Hajar. There are other issues regarding Ibn Hajar and al-Imam al-Sakhawi. But the point here is, al-Imam al-Sakhawi wrote down the isnad of al-Hafiz ibn Hajar for al-Adab al-Bukhari. How did al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar read al-Adab al-Mufrad? Al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar read al-Adab al-Mufrad and wrote it down, got his own copy of al-Adab al-Mufrad from al-Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abdul Aziz ibn al-Badr. This Imam Abu Bakr, who is from whom al-Hafiz ibn Hajar wrote down his copy of Al-Adab al-Mufrad, from whom he read his copy of Al-Adab al-Mufrad, he's the grandchild of Al-Imam Badruddin ibn Jama'ah. Badruddin ibn Jama'ah. Many of us, we know the book Tazkiratu Sami' wal-Mutakallim fi adabi talib al-ilm, fi adabi al-alim wal-muta'allim. But Imam Badruddin ibn Jama'ah is a very, very well-known scholar of Islam. For many years, about 20 years, I think, he was Qadi. He was the judge of the entirety of Misr at the time. So His grandchild, Abu Bakr, read Al-Adab al-Mufrad from him. His grandchild, Abu Bakr, and Al-Imam Badruddin ibn Jama'ah was someone who lives very long. If I'm not mistaken, he lived for about 76 years, ibn Jama'ah. So his grandchild, Abu Bakr, read Al-Adab al-Mufrad from him. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, read Al-Adab al-Mufrad from his grandchild. Ibn Hajar read from the grandchild of Ibn Jama'ah. And Badruddin ibn Jama'ah himself, rahimahullah, read Al-Adab al-Mufrad from Al-Imam Abu Tahir al-Silafi. Al-Imam Abu Tahir al-Silafi is Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Silafa. Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Silafa, the well-known scholar of Islam. Al-Imam Zahabi rahimahullah mentioned Abu Tahir al-Silafi to have lived for over 100 years. Some scholars say he lived for 120 years. He lived in Alexandria, in Alexandria, for 40 years after he toured around the cities of Islam. There was hardly a city of Islam where knowledge was learned and spread, except that Abu Tahir al-Silafi went there to learn from the scholars of the city, not just that, and write down the books they had with them. So it was from Abu Tahir al-Silafi that Badruddin ibn Jama'ah read Al-Adab al-Mufrad. And Badruddin ibn Jama'ah, his grandchild, Abu Bakr, read it from him. And Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar read it from Abu Bakr, the grandchild of Badruddin ibn Jama'ah. And Al-Imam Abu Tahir al-Silafi read Al-Adab al-Mufrad from Al-Qadi Abu al-Ala al-Wasiti. You can see the isnad. This isnad was mentioned in Al-Jawahir wa-Durar fi tarjamati Shaykh al-Islam ibn Hajar by Al-Hafiz al-Sakhawi in 2 big volumes. He mentioned this isnad of Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar up to Al-Imam al-Bukhari. So Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar read Al-Adab al-Mufrad from Abu Bakr, the grandchild of Badruddin ibn Jama'ah, who read it from his grandfather, Badruddin ibn Jama'ah, who read it from Al-Imam Abu Tahir al-Silafi. Al-Imam Abu Tahir al-Silafi read Al-Adab al-Mufrad from Qadi Abu al-Ala al-Wasiti. And Qadi Abu al-Ala al-Wasiti wrote it and read from Abu Nasr ibn al-Niyaziki. And Abu Nasr ibn al-Niyaziki read Al-Adab al-Mufrad from Abu al-Khair al-Bukhari. And Abu al-Khair al-Bukhari read Al-Adab al-Mufrad from Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. This is the isnad of how Al-Adab al-Mufrad itself, the book itself, has gotten to us. And then inside Al-Adab al-Mufrad, you'll be finding the Asanid of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. The entirety of the Asanid in Al-Adab al-Mufrad returns to al-Bukhari. And it returns to the rest of the Ummah with this isnad that we have mentioned. I have just mentioned one of the two from the Asanids that I have seen from manuscripts, handwritten copies of Sahih al-Bukhari. One of them is this isnad of Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar. The other one is the isnad from the people of India, the oldest manuscript that occurs in the Indian subcontinent and brings the hadith from Al-Imam Qadi Abu al-Ala. And it ends with one of the teachers of Al-Hafiz ibn al-Jawzi and Al-Hafiz ibn al-Sakir, whose name was Abu Hafs, Omar ibn Hafs ibn Ahmad al-Mukri. This is another isnad, but the one we have read to us is the isnad of Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar. So try to connect between 256 years after Hijrah and about 700 to 800 years after Hijrah, about 500 years of a gap, we find the book being read, being learned, being written down from one big scholar of Islam to the next big scholar of Islam. This is how the book itself, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, has reached us today. And there are Asanid of Al-Adab al-Mufrad today. Between today, the scholars of today, and Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, who lives in the 8th century of Islam. Many of their brothers who have these Asanid. May Allah preserve all of us. So this isnad that we have read, we say Akhbarana Abu Nasr. This Akhbarana is a statement of who? Al-Imam Abu al-Ala al-Qadi al-Wasiti. So this, the entirety of this should come after Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And that is how it occurs in other copies of the book. The entirety of Akhbarana Abu Nasr, Ahmad ibn Muhammad up to Haddathana Abu Abdullah al-Bukhari, the entirety of this should come immediately after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Some of the scholars have mentioned it, and one of those who have mentioned something similar to that is Sheikh Fadluddin Fadlullah al-Jilani, the author of Fadlullah al-Samad, which is the oldest known sharh of Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Fadlullah al-Jilani was one of the scholars, he was praised by the scholars of his time. He did a sharh of Sahih al-Bukhari, and he has mentioned that this isnad of Al-Adab al-Mufrad should come immediately after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So that after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we are reading the statement of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. And the statement of Al-Imam al-Bukhari that starts the book Al-Adab al-Mufrad is Babu Qawli Allahi Ta'ala wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi husna. So the entirety of this isnad should come immediately after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim up to Al-Imam al-Bukhari. It should come with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So that after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we have this isnad that ends with Al-Imam al-Bukhari. And after that isnad that ends with Al-Imam al-Bukhari, we now have Babu Qawli Allahi Ta'ala wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi husna. We say that the ulama say this is the correct tertib, but the prints, many of the prints have printed it with the isnad coming after the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and after Babu Qawli Allahi Ta'ala, because what that will mean is that Babu Qawli Allahi Ta'ala is not from the statement of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. So it should be the other way around. The isnad of Al-Adab al-Mufrad up to Al-Imam al-Bukhari should come immediately after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So that after Al-Imam al-Bukhari, the next thing we will find is Babu Qawlihi Ta'ala wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi husna. This is for those who have those copies that I have mentioned. I had mentioned a number of copies, the copy of Darul Hadith, the copy of Dar al-Huda al-Muhammadi, the copy of Dar ibn Kathir, the copy of many other copies, even the copy of Fadlullah al-Samad and others. They have this that we have had to mention. So in that, those are copies. This is the explanation for what we have. What Al-Imam al-Bukhari himself, which forms the third issue for us today. What Al-Imam al-Bukhari himself has started the book with is Babu Qawlihi Ta'ala. We would have understood from this second discussion that Al-Adab al-Mufrad has an isnad from Al-Imam al-Bukhari to the rest of the Ummah. Likewise, each of the hadith in Al-Adab al-Mufrad has an isnad from Al-Imam al-Bukhari to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is a hadith that is coming from the Prophet, or from Al-Imam al-Bukhari to the companion, if it's a hadith that is coming from the companion, and from Al-Imam al-Bukhari to a tabi'i, if it's a hadith that is coming from any of the tabi'i, if it's a hadith marfu, if it's a hadith mawku, it's from hadith, from the maqtu'at, all of these, we'll see that Al-Imam al-Bukhari has an isnad between him and the person who speaks on the narration. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari has an isnad between himself and everything in Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Likewise, we have an isnad between Al-Imam al-Bukhari and the rest of the Ummah. This is what we have tried to clarify in the second point. The first point we made in the class today is that why do we start our books with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? We mentioned the reasons for that. The Quran is said, start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would commence his writings to the people when he dictated and they were written down. It starts with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And we gave us a reference where we can find these letters, the work of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Tulun. And the second thing we have discussed today, the third reason why we start our books with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim for us is that our scholars start their books with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It suffices for a talib al-ilm when he was asked, why do you do this? This is what we have found our scholars doing from time to time. So this is the third reason for us. So the second issue we have discussed is the isnad of Al-Adab al-Mufrad from Al-Imam al-Bukhari to Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar between the 8th century of Islam and 256 after Al-Imam al-Bukhari. We tried to create a link between these two. And then we try to make us understand some of the adjustments that need to be in some of the copies, printed copies of Al-Adab al-Mufrad that we have. So this is the second point we have today. The third point we have today is that Al-Imam al-Bukhari himself, rahimahullah, has started the book by saying, Babu qawli Allahi ta'ala wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi husna. He says, wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi husna. Wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi husna was used by Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah as a chapter heading. And wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi husna is a verse in Surah Al-Ankabut. Wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi husna occurs in Surah Al-Ankabut. In Surah Al-Ahqaf, we have something similar to that. Wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi ihsana. Ulama say there are qira'at. There's qira'ah of wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi husna. This is what we read in Surah Al-Ankabut in our popular qira'ah. There is qira'ah of wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi ihsana, but that in Al-Ankabut. So what we read today, wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi husna, has another reading. Wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi ihsana. The second verse similar to it in Surah Al-Ahqaf, wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi ihsana. Ulama say it has another reading. Wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi husna. So wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi ihsana can be read as wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi husna. And wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi husna can be read as wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi ihsana. So these are the readings for these two similar verses in the Quran. So what does it mean? Wa wassayna, and we, Allah says in the Quran, wa wassayna, and we have commanded. Allah says, wassayna, we have commanded. Allah mentions this command with ta'zim of the one giving command by way of mentioning his mightiness. We have mentioned, we have commanded. We have enjoined what was saying al-insan. We have commanded mankind. We have commanded mankind the walidayhi as far as regarding his parents, regarding his two parents, his father and his mother, or her father and her mother, insan, human beings. Allah says, was saying al-insan. We have commanded mankind biwalidayhi husna, that they must be kind, they must be nice, they must be compassionate regarding their parents. It's a command from Allah. Wa wassayna, Allah tells us out of His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have commanded al-insan, mankind, biwalidayhi, regarding his two parents, ihsana, we have commanded that he is nice to them, he is compassionate with them, he is kind to them. Al-Imam Abdul Rahman As-Sa'di, in his book, As-Sa'di if you like, in his book, Taysirul Kareem Al-Rahman, he says, rahimahullah, that when Allah says wa wassayna, and we have commanded mankind, he said the meaning is amarna al-insana bi birrihima. We have commanded mankind with birr, to show kindness, dutifulness to his parents, to be dutiful to his parents. والإحسان إليهما أمرنا الإنسان ببرهما والإحسان إليهما. We have commanded mankind to show dutifulness, to show kindness, والإحسان and niceness, being good إليهما, to both of his parents or her parents, بالقول والعمل, in speech and in his actions. the command we have, brothers and sisters, from our Lord Supreme, is that we must be kind in our speech and in our actions to our parents. وَأَنْ يُحَافِظُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ الإمام السعدي رحمه الله says, وَأَنْ يُحَافِظُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ, that this verse means we should keep up upon that, upon what? بِبِرِّهِمَا وَالْإِحْسَانِ إِلَيْهِمَا, being dutiful to them and being kind towards them, بِالْقَوْلِ وَالْعَمَلِ, in our speech and in our actions. وَأَنْ يُحَافِظُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ, and that we must stick to that. وَلَا يَعُقُّهُمَا, the child should not show عُقُوك, should not show undutifulness. وَيُسِيءُ وَيَسِيءُ إِلَيْهِمَا فِي قَوْلِهِ, and then become bad, show them badness, direct evil towards them, فِي قَوْلِهِ وَعَمَلِهِ, in his speech towards them and in his actions regarding them. Al-Imam Abd al-Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah, he says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا, means that أَمَرَنَا الْإِنسَانَ, Allah is telling us that we have commanded mankind, بِبِرِّهِمَا, to be dutiful to them, both of his parents, وَالْإِحْسَانِ إِلَيْهِمَا, and to show kindness to both of his parents, بِالْقَوْلِ وَالْعَمَلِ, in our speech and in our actions. وَأَنْ يُحَافِظَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ, and then we must stick to doing that. وَلَا يَعُقُّهُمَا وَيَسِيءُ إِلَيْهِمَا, he will not show undutifulness to his parents. وَيَعُقُّهُمَا, he will not show undutifulness to them. وَيَسِيءُ إِلَيْهِمَا, neither will he be evil or direct evil towards them. في قوله وعمله, in his speech or in his actions. This is what Allah tells us in this verse. And this explanation by this imam is also captured in another verse of the Quran, because we would find that this verse is talking about the importance of being kind and dutiful to our parents. The first people we must be kind to, we must show the best of character to, after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, as a human being, but as the Messenger of Allah, they are our parents. So this verse makes us understand the importance of being kind and compassionate with our parents, in the way we speak and in the way we act regarding our parents. When we act, we must show kindness. When we speak, we must show kindness. In fact, ulama say, when it says biwalidayhi husna, it has not restricted the ihsan. It must be in every kind of goodness we know. Every kind of goodness we must show to our parents, in the way we speak with them and in the way we behave with respect to our parents. This meaning that Al-Imam Abd al-Rahman al-Sa'di has explained to us regarding this verse is also mentioned in another verse of the Quran, when Allah says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ, and your Lord who created you, رَبُّكَ, O mankind, you, your Lord who created you, your Rabb who made you, who sustains you, who provides you health, who has given you everything with which you look yourself, which may be a means of arrogance to you. Because today, many of us, because we think that we have obtained degrees, we speak English language, we now occupy offices, we have wealth, we have cars, we have children, we build big houses, we own entire cities and towns. These things may force the individual to think that now he has a right to speak to his parents as he will. Let him not forget that the creator of the entire universe, Qadha Rabbuka, is the one who is giving him the command. Qadha Rabbuka, yani Amara Rabbuka, your Lord, just like Wawasaina. They have the same meaning and import. So our Lord who has created us, who provides us oxygen to breathe, who makes us sleep and wake up, Subhanahu. Nobody has a power to make anybody sleep and wake up, except Allah subhanahu. This Allah, Father, he has enjoined mankind, Allah ta'budu illa iya, that nobody is worshipped except him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And that the parents, our two parents, we must show kindness to them. So this shows the importance of showing kindness to our parents. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has connected being kind to our parents. He has connected it to his worship. The right we have, Allah has over us, is that we worship him. He quickly mentions, along with that, the right of our parents over us. It says, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. We must show ihsan. The ulama say, the meaning of this ihsan was explained in this verse. And that was why Allah says, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا إِمَّا يَبْلِغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ. When your parents perhaps reach old age and they are with you, أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا, whether it is just your mother or just your father or both father and mother. I know very few of us will like to take our father and mother to ourselves. Very few. But it happens. And this is what should be the normal thing. The normal thing is that after a while, the child now brings the father and mother to himself. Or to herself, as the case may be. Or provides a means for them to be able to have company with him. Because at this age, the old age, the parents need the company of the children. There is nothing they need much more like the company of the child. Sometimes many of us, we fail in visiting our parents. We think that, oh, you instructed the bank to send 20,000 naira to her in the month, and that's all. It's not all. How about visiting them? How about talking to them? How about being nice to them? How about relating with them? How about providing them your ears for them to tell you what they have seen in life? All these are part of being sure that we are nice to our parents. So Allah says, "Imma yablughanna 'indaka al-kibara ahaduhuma aw kilahuma." When they become old and they are with you, whether one of them or the both of them, "Fala taqul lahuma uffin." Do not say to them, "Please excuse me." Do not make a statement of denigration towards your parents. "Wala tanharhuma." Likewise, don't raise your voice harshly when you talk to them. So you see here, it is talking about a son to parents with respect to our what? Our speech. A son to parents with respect to our speech. And that no evil must come from us to our parents regarding our speech. You don't say to our parents, we do not say and must not say to our parents except what is good. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Don't say, "Please, excuse me, ma. Let me talk." Many brothers do that and sisters. They say to their parents, "Ejekin Sara, let me talk." Don't say that to your parents. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Don't also make statements of demeaning to your parents. So Allah says, وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. What you should say to them is no other than noble speech, honorable statement. "Oh, mommy. Oh, daddy. Oh, and mommy. Oh, daddy." Humble and honorable statements are the only things that should come through. So what was final in Sana Diwalidei Husna has to do with Husna, goodness in terms of our speech. Only good speech should be directed to them. Evil speech should not be directed to our parents. This is the first point from the meaning of what was saying al-insana biwalidayhi husna. Husna regarding speech and action. For our speech, only good speech should be directed to them. No evil speech must be directed to our parents. This is the first point of benefit from al-ihsan regarding our parents. The second area of al-ihsan regarding our parents is regarding our actions. That's why Allah says, "Waqfid lahuma janaha dhulli min ar-rahma." Ikhfid lahuma janaha dhulli. The wings of your humility, your wings, your shoulders that you raise before your parents. Bring it down. Bring down the wings of humility. Ikhfid lahuma janaha dhulli min ar-rahma. Not out of anger
Not out of, okay, I've heard. If you don't want to listen, okay, I've heard. Not like this. Out of rahmah, out of mercy and compassion. Bring down yourself. Humble yourself. It is now talking about ihsan regarding our actions. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا, that is show kindness to them in your action. جَنَاحَ الْكُلِّ, the arms, your wings of humility, bring it down to your head. Out of humility. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. From your actions also is that when they pass away, or even at old age, they have not passed away, make sure you make dua. Pray for your parents. Pray for your parents. Oh Allah, grant them good end if they have not passed away. And if they have passed away, oh Allah, forgive my parents. All of these areas and ways of strangeness, inshallah, will be mentioned by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari when we come fully into the book. So the point today, so that we can round off today, we already took the time, is that we discussed three main issues. The first is that why do our scholars commence their books with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? The second is that the isnad of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or to the companion, or to the tabi'i, occur in the book. But the isnad of Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar and others amongst the scholars, we have also discussed it at the beginning of the book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Some of us don't have that at all, especially those of us who have the translations that have been published of me. There is no issue of an isnad there. So it's not talking about us. It is talking about our brothers and sisters who have copies of Al-Adab al-Mufrad in Arabic and the Afghani have been mentioned. He mentioned to us where that isnad should be, as the scholars have said. And the third thing we try to discuss is the chapter heading itself. Babu qawli Allahi ta'ala wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi ihsana. We have told us the readings of that part. Wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi ihsana can also be read as wa wassayna al-insana biwalidayhi ihsana. And that the verse means that Allah commands us out of His majesty and power and authority that we must be kind and dutiful to our parents. And kindness and dutifulness to parents comes in two ways. It comes from our statements, it comes from our actions. From those of our statements is that only good statements should be directed to our parents. And we must not direct negative statements to them. From those of our actions is that only good actions should be directed to our parents. We must not direct negative actions towards our parents. This meaning of husna or ihsana has been mentioned by Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'idi, and it is supported by another verse of the Quran that tends to explain to us what this ihsan means. I'd like to stop here, inshallah, for today. I hope that we can take one or two questions before the time comes. So I think we have about 7 or 8 minutes. Inshallah, we can take 1, 2, 3 questions before we call it the day today, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
We pray Almighty Allah to continue to increase you in beneficial knowledge and make you from amongst those with which Islam would get to greater height. We are having some questions, inshallah. And the first question is that does the book Al-Adab al-Mufrad have a Muqaddimah?
It does not have a Muqaddimah. The copies that we have seen both in the manuscripts and in print do not have Muqaddimah. They have occurred as many others amongst the books of Al-Imam al-Bukhari has occurred. You'll always only have Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and he goes on to say what he has intended in the book. The same way he has done in Sahih al-Bukhari, he would say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Kitabu Badil Wahi. He went on to say, and in the rest of his books too. So we have not seen a Muqaddimah like we would find in Sahih Muslim, where Al-Imam Muslim Rahimahullah started his book with a Muqaddimah, and others amongst the scholars in Islam. This book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, no Muqaddimah is mentioned regarding it. Allahu Alam.
Jazakumullah khairan.
Amin.
The next question is that, what are the remedies to the one who forgets things very easily? Perhaps the Quran and Azkar. Your person has always tried, but the person finds it very, very hard to not forget whatever he or she has memorized.
One of the things the scholars have mentioned about the issues of memory is that they mention repetition. If you've memorized something and you want to keep it in mind, repeat it at all times. After a while, it becomes a part of you. For example, our names. We mention our names repeatedly and it becomes a part of us. We don't think to say our names. Look at Surah Al-Fatiha. We repeat Surah Al-Fatiha so often that I don't think any one of us can remember the day he sat down to memorize Surah Al-Fatiha. And we have memorized it. But the memorization came out of repetition. So one of the ways to sustain something in the mind is to regularly repeat it. Regularly repeat it. Ulama say this a lot. And that's why they encourage us, even those of our brothers who have read the entirety of Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, and studied it with scholars. The scholars will always say, don't forget to always read the book on and on, on and on, on and on. And it will remain in your mind, inshallah. Al-Imam Ibn al-Mubarak was once asked, how are you people able to memorize the names of 30,000, 40,000 reporters of hadith? How are you able to keep all this huge information in your mind? He says, Shay'un ishtaqna ilayha fata'allaqa bi'adhanina. There are things that we love to keep these things in our mind. Fata'allaqa, it became stuck in, it itself got stuck in our mind. So when you repeat it, it will get stuck in your mind. So azkar, the Quran, repeat the Quran always. Repeat your daily azkar always, even at the times that it is not the time for azkar. By way of making the muraja of those azkar, not by way of actually making those azkar at the time. You make those azkar at their time, and you try to repeat it at other times too, by way of making sure that you don't forget those azkar. And there's no statement of goodness that one utters. It will be documented for you out of the goodness that you make. This is the way people have done. Even with the Quran, even with books, we have scholars who will tell you they can't even remember how many times they read the Quran. One of the early Muslims was passing away and the daughter was feeling so bad. This occurs in the issues, the narrations that have been reported about the Quran. The daughter was afraid, said, why are you afraid? The father was asking the daughter, why are you afraid? Say, I'm afraid because you are passing. He said, don't be afraid. In this house alone, I have read the Quran more than 3,000 times. So don't be afraid. So you read the Quran repeatedly, it becomes stuck, it got stuck, gets stuck into the mind. In fact, even without an intention to memorize, when you read something, when the tilawa of an individual is very, very regular, he'll be handling and relating with the Quran like a person who has memorized the entirety of the Quran. So a medicine for a weak memory is repetition. You can repeat all the time and get your mind attached to it. Bismillah, and then you pray that Allah keeps these things in your mind. There are companions who begged Allah, prayed that Allah should give them retentive memory. Amongst them was Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. The Prophet also prayed for him. So a second means of having a retentive memory is to beg Allah to keep your mind, a mind that retains information. Imam al-Zuhri has recommended perhaps licking honey. It was when he was asked, how do you come about retentive memory? He mentioned licking honey. But the first two are the main issues that we can advise our brothers on, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khairan. This questioner is asking that, how do we relate with those of our parents who were nonchalant regarding our care, perhaps a parent that after birth abandoned the child for a motherless home or whatsoever, and the child grew up to be someone in life? What should be the child's disposition as regards taking care of such parents?
Bismillah, these are some of the chapter headings that have been mentioned by Al-Imam al-Bukhari under our relationship with our parents in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufraj. So in a bigger manner, inshallah, we are still going to come back to this discussion about how we relate with parents who were, so to speak, who were hurtful, who were harmful, who were difficult with their children, who didn't want, who used to punish their children and all of these. But a summary answer we can have about that is that you cannot pay back the goodness of pregnancy and delivery. Pregnancy and delivery itself, you can't pay it back. Allah says, hamalathu ummuhu kurha. Yani, ala mashaqqa wa wada'athu kurha. The day that she gave birth to you, she wouldn't know whether she was in the heavens or on the earth. You can't pay back this one. There are athar who come back to all of these, inshallah, in Al-Adab al-Kufar. So whether those parents were good to us or not, as far as they are our parents, no matter what you become today, you still owe them the duty of being nice to your parents. This is from one angle. The second angle is that do you pay back if you still think that they've been not nice to you? Do you pay back evil with goodness, or you pay back goodness? You pay back evil with evil. So the basic rule in Islam is to pay goodness, and it's the most encouraged thing, more so when it has to do with our parents, those who have the greatest right over us. So even if you feel that there is an evil from them towards you, you still have a duty to pay back goodness with that evil, even though that evil is just from your thinking. The fact that they gave back to you is enough good that they have done to you that you cannot pay back. So may Allah forgive all of us and make our parents righteous people, make us two righteous children. One of our scholars recently, he wrote that there are parents, there are children who now deny the goodness that their parents have done to them. He said he gives them glad tidings that they should just wait for the time their own children too will come back to say, oh, you were useless parents too. Their children who say that their parents were useless. Say, don't worry. Your children are coming back to tell you too that you were an irresponsible and useless father. So no matter the case, the fact that they gave birth to us is enough goodness. We can't pay back the hardship of pregnancy. We can't pay back the hardship of delivery. I have seen women, I go with women into labor rooms when they deliver. So I can feel it. I don't run away like many brothers do. May Allah forgive all of us. You see how a child comes out from a woman. You know that being a parent is not an easy task. This duty of having delivered us itself, we can't pay it back. So no matter what you think, oh, they did was bad, you can't pay back. So start paying back. Start trying to pay back the goodness for delivery, the goodness for pregnancy, the goodness for breastfeeding. They didn't receive any money from you. And how much could you have paid for their breastfeeding? Whether a woman is hungry or not, she breastfed her child. No matter the situation. And Imam al-Bukhari in his book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, he has a chapter in it. He said, Al-Hum al-Ummahat Rahimat. Al-Ummahat Muftad al-Khabar. Al-Ummahat the mothers, Rahimat. They are the most compassionate of the people. This compassion inside them for you, you can't pay them back. No matter what the mistake they would have done in your dealings with you as you grew up. So no matter our status and condition, we must show goodness to our parents. May Allah forgive our parents whatever errors they did. This is what we say, وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. May Allah forgive them. May Allah make things easy for them. Those of them who have passed away, may Allah forgive them their shortcomings. The goodness that they show to us, may Allah multiply the goodness. I think we will be sufficient to stop here, brothers. Adi?
Naam, ya Shaykhana. Jazakumullah khairan.
Amin wa
rahmatullah. Barakallahu. Amin wa rahmatullah, Shaykhana al-Hadith. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Subhanakallah wa hamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.
Astaghfiruka. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.